About a million people in the United States have Parkinson's disease. And, you know, there are, you know, Michael J. Fox, I guess, is probably one person that a lot of people would know afflicted with it. I think Muhammad Ali is afflicted with it as well. Pope John Paul II had it as well. Larry Mueller here. Glad you could join us today on the Ideas Network as we talk about Parkinson's disease and other movement disorders as well. Nancy Ninman is a registered nurse with UW Health, and she is board certified in geriatrics, and over 90% of her patients have Parkinson's disease. There's probably not a whole lot she hasn't seen when it comes to Parkinson's. And in fact, I'm pretty sure she's seen pretty much all of it. And I know she'll have some great advice and comments for you. Maybe you have a loved one with Parkinson's or another movement disorder. What's it meant for you? What questions do you have? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a comment there. And Nancy Ninman, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
Appreciate it very much. What movement disorder? What exactly do we mean by movement disorder, and how many people are really living with it?
Movement disorders, I'm going to list some of the, maybe, should I say, syndromes or whatever that are characterized as movement disorders. Essential tremor is a movement disorder. Mm-hmm. Parkinson's disease, Huntington's disease. They tend to be, how we call things movement disorders is because something in the brain is not working right, so smooth, easy, normal movements are affected. People can't walk as well as they did. Their legs don't work as well. Their arms don't work as well. Movements are just not as fluid as they were.
Does it affect voice?
Sometimes. I would say not all of those movement disorders. A lot of folks with Parkinson's disease have problems with their voice.
Yeah, and is Parkinson's, that's probably the most common of the movement issues? Or
you know,
is it?
I think it's probably the most common one that we hear about or talk about.
Yeah.
I was reading just stuff before coming on, and actually essential tremor is probably the most common movement disorder. But Parkinson's disease is probably the most, shall we say, talked about more. It probably is affects people's lives more.
And the tremor, is that, that's another brain, something that goes on
it's
in the
like
brain?
It's like the wiring
causes...
in the brain. Probably most people have what we call a physiological tremor, where if you held your arm out straight,
yeah,
and I've done this to myself, where you hold like a laser light, you probably can't see, if you extend your arm, a tremor. But if you're holding a light or something, especially probably like now when you're a little bit nervous, mm-hmm, you, not you, but I, would probably have a little bit of tremor. Mm-hmm. Essential tremor is usually when people are doing an activity. They're trying to eat. They're trying to comb their hair is when that tremor is present. In Parkinson's disease, people have tremor at rest. So if we were sitting here just talking, people with Parkinson's disease have their tremor when their body part is at rest.
Oh, and I can see that tremor. If you have a camera that has a telephoto lens, it's interesting. You can just hold the camera up and look through it, and everything looks pretty stable. But if you crank that telephoto up, You soon notice that there's a little bit of movement there, mm-hmm, and we all probably have a little of that.
All to some degree, yes.
Yeah. Carol in Green Bay has a question for you, so let's go to her. Hi, Carol.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My mother had Parkinson's, and she's since passed away, but hers was not typical. Not so much of the tremors, except when she was stressed, but it was more of her freezing. You know, mm-hmm, not being able to move sometimes, freezing in doorways, that sort of thing. I must say that her courage was incredible because she was determined to get around by herself and never used a cane, a walker, anything. So that's a tribute to her. But I was recently diagnosed. My mother passed away at the end of 2008, was diagnosed in 2003.
Okay.
I was recently diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. That was in August. And I'm wondering if those two things are related. I never even thought to ask my neurologist.
No.
I have never heard or read that MS and Parkinson's are linked on the same, say, gene. I think they're finding in research that there are genetic links, especially in people who develop young onset Parkinson's disease. But I have never heard of MS and PD in the same genetic breath.
Oh.
Well, thank you, though.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling. And I'm sorry for your pain that you're probably going through right now, Carol.
Well, actually, I must say, and then I'll let you go, that I am feeling fine and I don't look sick, which makes it hard for people to understand that I certainly am. And what I read, you know, I wasn't even ready to do the research, and I'm a very curious person. When I finally was able to face it, I found out that really what I'm looking at is about 10 years out before problems really start to come up. So I'm grateful. You know, I'm 54. It has reframed my life, but, you know, my attitude's pretty good.
It sounds like your attitude's pretty good, and probably over the next 10 years there are things that you can do of a physical nature and keeping in shape and staying in shape that will no doubt help you when that time comes.
Thank you so much for saying that. Thanks for being supportive. I hope you both have a great day.
Yeah,
thank you
too. Appreciate your call very much.
I really think, Larry, that attitude is an amazing part.
Yeah.
I am just so delighted or impressed or take such encouragement from our Parkinson's folks or the MS folks, anybody who's dealing with a chronic illness, that just they it's not just keep your chin up. They really,
yeah,
they are strong people. I am just, I'm put to shame sometimes, I think.
Yeah, and Carol, who we just talked to, is certainly one of those.
Mm-hmm.
She really sounds like a very positive person and a great person to know. And good luck again, Carol. I hope we hear from you again. Gregory in Turtle Lake, thank you for calling. Hi.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I was diagnosed with Parkinson's about 5 years ago. I'm 60 now, and my biggest problem is with strength, and I seem to be losing muscle mass. I can't lift as much as I used to, quite a bit, noticeably less than I used to. I've always had a physical job when I was working, and I'm really losing my strength, and I did have I think it's called an EMG test done about a year ago, and that came back negative. And I've been to doctors about this muscle problem, and nobody can really come up with anything. Have you ever heard of this with Parkinson's?
My initial reaction to your comments are, have you done any physical therapy?
No, I haven't.
And that's not meant as a shame on you, you haven't. Sometimes there's muscle atrophy sometimes, but I think sometimes what we get is deconditioning. People just don't use the muscles as they did previously. And sometimes that loss of muscle mass, that loss of strength, just needs somebody to help you use those muscles
in different ways than you were used them before.
And it sounds if you did a lot of physical work before and now you don't do that, you know, it's probably even more noticeable to you. I think it's important that or a personal trainer, somebody who can help you build up that muscle strength, at least to try.
So
I really have tried like lifting weights and that type of thing, and it hurts. It's not a good hurt, it's a painful,
yeah,
you know, a painful hurt.
Well, there may be things with a physical therapist. At least a physical therapist can watch you. I mean, I just went through some physical therapy for my knee, so I have a really good one. Tom, you're a great PT, but he could watch me exercise and exercise relating to my knee, and then come up with things that would help strengthen but would not cause the kind of pain that I was getting from my own attempts to kind of keep things going.
I think when we try to compare what we used to do before,
Yeah,
you know, it's like I used to lift, you know, I used to bench press 50 pounds or 100 or whatever they say. And then you go, you try to achieve way back to where you were before. It may mean you have to start at like a lower weight or something so that you gradually work back up.
Yeah.
Sure.
But if you have a chance to go even one or two visits to a physical therapist, I think it'd be really, really helpful.
Okay, yeah, maybe, and I can join a sports club too through my insurance company, through Silver Sneakers, I think they call it.
Oh man, that's great! I highly encourage that as well,
because that probably gives you access to physical personal trainers who could really zero in on your needs rather than trying to fit you into, you know, a peg that you can't fit in.
Yeah. Absolutely. I highly recommend that.
Okay, yeah, maybe I'll look into that a little more serious then.
Yeah, it's obviously I'm not a doctor or a physician. Nancy's the expert here, but just based on my own experience, it certainly is not going to hurt. Yeah. It could probably help an awful lot.
Yeah. The other thing I think about in just your question, Gregory, is whether I'm not I don't want to be the pusher of medications. Sometimes I notice with some of my patients when strength is low, sometimes it means relooking and evaluating medications that you take. And is there something that could be changed or adjusted that might help as well?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
The only medication I'm on right now is carbidopa.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that would have any effect on strength or...
That's, as we call it, the gold standard of treatment. That's probably the medication that probably people get most relief from.
So there you go. Greg, it's great talking to you. Thank you so much, and good luck to you. Appreciate it. Nancy Nindman, registered nurse with UW Health, our guest as we talk with her about Parkinson and other diseases. Stay with us.
Drawn from the broad spectrum of New York's classical scene, the Knights are an orchestra dedicated to collaborative musical performance and creatively engaging audiences. The Wisconsin Union Theater presents The Knights with renowned pipa virtuoso and Grammy Award nominee Wuman on Saturday, February 9th at 8 p.m. in Mills Concert Hall. For more information about this concert, click on WPR.org/Madison.
Support for WPR comes from the Port Washington Tourism Council, nestled on the shores of Lake Michigan, with a Saturday farmers market, concerts in the park, outside restaurant dining, and lighthouse tours. Mobile app and more at visitportwashington.com.
It's estimated that about 1 million people in the U.S. have Parkinson's disease. And, you know, as we've seen with celebrities like Michael J. Fox and Muhammad Ali, the symptoms can be devastating. Larry Mueller here. Glad you could join us today on the Ideas Network. Nancy Nindman is a registered nurse with UW Health. She works with people, many people with Parkinson's disease. Maybe you have a loved one living with Parkinson's, or maybe you are living with a Parkinson's or another movement disorder. Certainly we can talk with you. Maybe you don't know the signs. What are the signs to watch for? What do you do if you notice symptoms? Nancy Nindman, happy to answer your questions when you call us at 1-800-642-1234. You can also leave a question on my Facebook page. Go to the Larry Mueller Show. Like the page while you're there. We'll send you regular updates on upcoming show topics. Back after the news. Movement disorders like Parkinson's disease can have a really devastating impact on the life of not only the person with the disease, but their loved ones as well. And because it's both chronic and progressive, there's an increasing loss of movement and control over your own body. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today on the Ideas Network. We're happy to have Nancy Nindman with us. She's a registered nurse with UW Health. Great to have her with us. She's also a nurse practitioner. She's a board-certified person in geriatrics. Over 90% of her patients have Parkinson's disease, so she's seen it all when it comes to that disease and has a lot of valuable information to share. And Nancy Nimmin, again, thanks for taking time to be with us today. Really appreciate
it. It's a privilege to be here, Larry.
Really glad to have you with us. And we have so many people who want to visit with you. And I know there was an email from John and Kimberly, whose mother, 89 years old, on and off diagnosed with Parkinson's. She needs a walker, but still at home. She takes different medications. And John's wondering if you could explain how Parkinson's is diagnosed and how accurately these diagnostics are.
Okay.
Excuse me.
Nope. Let me just kind of give my, shall I say, typical symptoms of Parkinson's disease.
Okay.
I go by the acronym TRAP, T-R-A-P.
Okay.
And T is for tremor. And that tremor is usually initially only on one side. Essential tremor is often both arms or both legs. Parkinson's disease tremor is usually on one side, and it's at rest, as I mentioned before. The R in that is rigidity or stiffness. People notice a lot more difficulty, you know, like putting on a coat or rubbing their back or taking a shower. They feel rigid and stiff. The A in TRAP is akinesia, or I call it, that's a lack of movement, or bradykinesia, slow movement. I think a lot of people would say their parent or sibling looks slow. And the P is postural instability or balance problems. And oftentimes that's really the main symptoms we look for. There are other symptoms that might come along with that, such as soft voice or drooling or weakness, stooping of posture. Some people walk kind of hunched over, sleep problems, depression, anxiety. There are a lot of whole things that can come with the package of Parkinson's disease. I've tried to explain this to patients at the clinic, that if it looks like a duck, quacks like a duck, walks like a duck, it's probably a duck.
Yeah.
There is really no, at this point in time, diagnostic test that you do that says, aha, you have Parkinson's disease because you have this in your blood or this in your brain. Oftentimes we do MRIs, which rule out other things rather than tell you that you have Parkinson's disease. And there just isn't right now any kind of what we call biomarker in the blood that tells us that there it's a definite. So when people say they're unsure, it's sometimes because most of the time it looks like Parkinson's, but sometimes it may look like something else.
And, you know, Hannah Wente, who you may well know, American Parkinson's Disease Association Wisconsin chapter, representing that chapter, we've got her on. Hannah, are you there?
I am.
And it's great, as we visit here with Nancy Nimmin about Parkinson's, I know the association, the Wisconsin chapter, and Nancy's shaking her head, certainly endorse this, that there are a lot of resources that you folks have available.
Yes, that's right. Our goal is to offer education materials and education programs, support groups, exercise classes, basically information referrals for people with Parkinson's and their families. So we're kind of a resource outside of the clinic to try to bring together the community. And our goal is to kind of empower the Parkinson's community with information and with support networks so that they can kind of manage the disease throughout their life.
And you have, you folks have a website at which we have, I think we put it up on our, we do have it up on my Facebook page. But if you want to just give that website.
Yeah, our website is www.wichapterapda.org, and it's a really great new site. Definitely check out the resources map that has a searchable map. You can type in your zip code, and it'll come up with all of the resources in your area, so movement disorder clinics, physical therapists, speech therapists, exercise classes, support groups, anything that you need. And then we have a great calendar as well with all of our upcoming events and fundraisers.
And again, that website was
wichapterapda.org.
And APDA for American Parkinson's Disease Association.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, Hannah.
Yeah, thanks, Nancy.
Good to hear from you.
Good to hear you, too.
It is really amazing because that organization can address the whole state.
And yeah.
It can link you to resources. You know, I feel like we have an amazing amount of resources here in Madison. And if you live up in Podunk, you know, Wisconsin,
wherever.
Sometimes you feel alone and you don't have that. So the APDA and there are other organizations that can help you link to other resources.
Yeah, which is really great. And we have, if you didn't get that down, just go to my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show and you'll be able to click right on. It was great to have Hannah on it just to remind us that those are, facilities and resources are out there. Frankly, you actually, Nancy, you deal with people from all over the place anyway, from all over the state,
at
least.
I would say we have people from the Upper Peninsula, Green Bay area, Oshkosh, Appleton, you know, Beloit, La Crosse, Viroqua. I'm not going to name names, but they come from all over the state. And I know sometimes it's difficult connecting with resources when you get back to that small town.
Yeah. Dorothy and Hayward, thank you so much for calling. Hello.
Hi, Larry and Nancy. Thank you so much. I was wondering, my husband has Parkinson's. He's had it for about the last 4 years. And I was wondering if Nancy was familiar with the therapy Big and Loud.
Yep. Have you tried any of that yet?
Oh, my goodness. My husband was turned down for the deep brain stimulation at Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
And they said his memory was so bad that they said he had dementia and he couldn't have the operation, which we're so happy about now. And they tried carbolopa, but he was so nervous and everything from all the tests that he kind of had a bad reaction to it. But anyway, he couldn't eat. He couldn't feed himself. He had a drink from a straw. He couldn't write. He's a musician. He couldn't play anymore. Couldn't drive. And somehow, I think through our primary family doctor, we heard of Dr. Paul Tillich, who he's in the neurology department at the University of Minnesota in Minneapolis, and he comes to Duluth once a month. And he just said, we're going to take you off a lot of that medicine that's making you like a zombie, and I'm going to have you evaluated for this therapy called Big and Loud. And the whole idea behind it is, Parkinson's patient steps get smaller, and like you said, hunched over, and also the voice gets quite faint because muscles are atrophying. And he had a physical therapist there at the Polinsky Center in Duluth. But I've talked to different people, and there are different varieties of this kind of variations of this all in quite a few places. And every exercise involves about four different muscles and nerves. And we had four weeks of intensive therapy, and they trained me also. We stayed in Duluth during the week. And then they tried him on the carbolopa again, and he took it all right. And it was slow, but now he can do just about everything else. He can drive a stick shift truck.
Wow.
Good for him.
We just think it, but he never gives up. He does it every day.
Thank you so much, Dorothy, for calling. And maybe you can fill us in a little bit more, Nancy, on this Big and Loud. What's the idea behind it?
Big and Loud is usually done by a trained physical therapist. And what seems to happen in a lot of Parkinson's patients, as Dorothy referred, steps get smaller, movements get smaller, muscles are weaker. So what they're basically doing is teaching people to move bigger,
all right,
louder, if you want to say. And it stems from, initially, there was a program called, it was Lee Silverman Voice Therapy, where they were teaching patients to talk louder. And, you know, we all get into the habit, you know, you kind of trail off your voice and people don't hear you anyway.
Yeah.
Anyway, people with Parkinson's voices often get softer and quieter. So they go to Lee Silverman Voice Therapy, which is the initiators kind of this Big and Loud, where people are taught basically to talk loud. in their heads, they sound like they're yelling at people, yeah. And really they just come
they're just not
very quiet.
Yeah.
So it teaches them basically to talk loud, and the big and loud therapy program is basically helping them make bigger movements, larger movements with their bodies.
Well, that's wonderful. And Dorothy, I thank you so much for talking with us about it. And I'm really glad your husband is doing so well. Rella in Appleton has some more to add to this Big and Loud program. So, Dorothy, again, thank you. Let's turn to Rella in Appleton next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi there. Yes, I participated in the Big and Loud program here in Appleton. I had moved here like in September. I got right into the program. It's put on by Affinity Health Systems, and they're very organized. It's very, very helpful. And I'm reading what it here says here that a fellow by the name of Lee Silverman Voice Treatment, that's what it all started with. And the Loud I haven't done yet. I've just done the other part of it. The big part is to exercise very big, and you do have to do it twice a day. Are you there?
Yeah, well, we're listening rapt attention here, Rella. Thank you so much.
Well, I just did hear your feedback, and this is new to me. I've never done anything like this, talked on the radio. But I can't recommend it enough. And I'm looking here at this sheet that I have. I'll be going back for the Loud pretty soon. And it says here that Affinity Health Systems, if you go to www.affinityhealth.org, you click on services, and then you click on rehabilitation services, and they will explain exactly what this is about. I would go four times a week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday for treatment. And I had a licensed therapist, and they would do physical therapy. They taught me all these different exercises. It was really helpful because I was beginning to shrivel and, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And not shrivel, but I was, and my voice is soft yet. That's why I want to do the Loud. You speak, it teaches you to speak louder. And I think you feel a little foolish. It's sort of like when you exercise, you overdo everything. And unfortunately, I didn't keep doing it when I got home, but boy, am I encouraged because I am so much better. They tested me before I started. It was 4 weeks, no kidding, 4 days a week, 45 minutes a day. And it's the only thing to help besides the carbidopa, I think.
Yeah. I think people attend some of these programs. They'll go to a fitness class and we probably all are like this. You go for a period of time and then you do it while you're doing it and you do the little things they tell you to do at home and then you get home and you forget about it and you mm-hmm. quit doing it. And I think that's a key for a lot of folks is if you participate in, whether it's the speech mm-hmm. program or the movement program, is to do it while you're doing it and be persistent because I think it really helps people.
Yeah, absolutely. And Rella, thank you again for calling. I appreciate your call very much. I want to give others a chance to join in. I know Treva from Ottawa has been waiting a long time, so I'll get Treva on. Thank you for calling. Hello.
Hi. I have essential tremor in my head and both of my hands, actually my arms, and it's quite active. Even at rest, which makes it interesting mm-hmm. trying to go to sleep because mm-hmm. I'm all weakly. And I did have Botox in my neck, which calmed the tremor down, which I greatly enjoyed. But the side effects were horrendous. I had so many muscle spasms in my neck and my shoulders. So then they gave me more Botox to try and calm that down. And I ended up not being able to pick up my head or turn over. You know, I had to hold my head up for several months till it wore off. So I liked the fact that I could get some control, but I'm not sure if I should try that again. None of the medicines I've ever been on ever did anything. So I'm just looking for a direction.
I think it's really frustrating for people who have essential tremor who have poor response to medication. Probably that happens with just about, you know, there are people with hypertension who have problems too, but I think That's the frustrating part, is that the medications don't work. Botox has side effects. I'll put in, should I say, my plug for deep brain stimulation.
Yeah.
I don't know
yeah.
if that's something that you've considered at all, but I find I do the programming at UW on the deep brain stimulators, and it is amazing to me the people who have suffered with essential tremor for years and have found no relief. And the leads are placed in the brain. They're hooked up to batteries, and we adjust the batteries. And sometimes it's pretty amazing. Not sometimes, a lot of
the
time.
And it gets worse as you get older.
That's what I found. You know, I've wondered sometimes why, you know, somebody will come in who's 80 and sit complains, you know, this has been horrible, and they've tolerated it. It's at a level that they can tolerate for a period of time, and then it reaches the point where I can't stand it anymore.
Can't stand it anymore, can't sleep or whatever.
Yeah, when you said, you know, initially essential tremor is not at rest, but I think when it persists long enough and people have tremor long enough, they do have tremor even at rest, even when
so going to bed. Are there dangerous side effects of deep brain stimulation? It sounds kind of scary, you know.
Well, I think everybody is afraid of it. I mean, it's brain surgery, and that's
yeah.
kind of scary. I mean, the side effects or the risk. You know, you could have a stroke. We could do damage. But generally speaking, the doctors who do deep brain stimulation surgery are obviously well-qualified neurosurgeons. The side effects often come when the stimulation is turned on. It can affect your speech somewhat, can affect balance, but the job of that programmer is to make sure that it's turned on and turned on right so that you don't get those side effects.
Okay. Well, thank you for your counsel.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, appreciate your call. So, Parkinson's, I mean, they're not really a cure, is there?
No, there isn't. I think they're, you know, Michael J. Fox, Muhammad Ali, these famous people who have brought Parkinson's, I think, into the media and into, I hate to say, the limelight. I think there's more research going on now than there was. Anything we do to treat Parkinson's does not cure it. And it's, as you mentioned earlier, it's progressive. So over the years, it gets worse. And
Does it shorten lifespan?
You know, people will often, when they're diagnosed, ask, is Parkinson's going to kill me?
Yeah.
And I would say, generally speaking, what shortens people's lifespans or what kills people are the things that come with the complications of Parkinson's, such as if your movement isn't good and you fall and you break a hip. Just like any older person who breaks a hip, you feel like that's... Does that kill you? Well, depending if you're immobilized for a period of time, it can be harmful. People with Parkinson's sometimes have swallowing problems. So then we have people who have difficulty and they don't swallow correctly, aspirate food, get pneumonia, and die of something like that. I always hate to say it's the Parkinson's itself, but kind of the complications that come with it.
Yuri Danilov's lab at UW was doing some work on the tongue device that rewired the brain, healing the brain through the tongue. A lot going on in 2009, Kathy says. She emailed. Is there anything going on with that device now that you know about?
I know they're still doing things because I know we've heard from them at the clinic on occasion. Basically, you know, in the old days, I think they figured the brain didn't heal itself. Once damage was done. But I think they're finding that the brain is far more resilient than we thought it was. And I think that Danilov's lab is trying to show that the wiring that's wrong sometimes we can sidetrack it or rewire so we get better. But I don't really know a whole lot about it.
And this was genetic? There's a genetic component to this?
To Parkinson's?
Yeah.
I think if we find people who are young when they get Parkinson's, there's, I think, a stronger component to young onset. But it does run in families. So, you know, if you have tremor and grandpa had a tremor, I wouldn't ignore the tremor.
Yeah. And it's not something that we... There's not a mosquito out there that's biting us and causing us to get the Parkinson's disease. It's
really what I don't, there's so much research going on, but I think there are two components to Parkinson's disease. There's probably some genes. There are identified genes. And then I think what also happens is there are environmental things that, I don't know if I want to say trigger it or add to it. There have been, this is not proof that farmers are more susceptible, but they find farmers have a higher incidence of Parkinson's disease. And the question there, is it pesticides they're exposed to? Is there something in an environment? Is well water? You know, I think there's so much that we need to learn. We have people who have had several concussions.
Muhammad Ali.
A lot of those. And so is there something that damages the brain that triggers that?
Nancy, it's a pleasure to talk with you. I hope we'll have a chance to do this again.
It's been a pleasure to be here.
And we have a lot more information up on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. Do you want to find out what's available from the UW in terms of Parkinson's disease and the other movement diseases? I hope you will go to the website, go to the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page, and you can click right on to what's going on with UW Health in that area. Nancy Nimmin, our guest, she'll be back. We'll do it again. Thank you for listening. Scott Craven joins us tomorrow on the Ideas Network.